A reading from Joel. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the wine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 126 responsibly. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue shall shout of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. A reading from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and dignity. That is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested to at the right time. For I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At first glance, today's gospel seems like an odd choice for Thanksgiving. There's not one word in it about giving thanks. Instead, its dominant message seems to be about worrying. Do not worry about your life. Can you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? I have to admit that whenever I hear these words of Jesus, I feel accused. I am a champion worrier. More nights than I care to confess, I am awake at 2 a.m., worrying about family and friends, worrying about all the things that need to be done, worrying about church, worrying about the world. The present, the future, little things, major things, I worry about them all. But you do not have to be a champion worrier like me to take Jesus' admonition to heart. At this time of year, virtually all of us should feel accused when we hear Jesus' command, do not say, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Many of us have been asking just that for days, if not weeks, as we planned our Thanksgiving feast. And perhaps even here now, as we're sitting in worship, some of us are worrying about whether the turkey will be ready on time. And will it still be moist if we have to wait for latecomers? And on and on and on. We will continue to worry about what we will eat and what we will drink all through the holidays, including, of course, worrying about eating and drinking too much. And worrying about what to wear? The great Christmas advertising blitz started this year before Halloween. Black Friday sales didn't wait for the Friday after Thanksgiving. They've been going on for weeks. Many of the gifts that we will give and receive this Christmas fall into that wearable category. So worrying about what we wear is big business. Imagine the impact on the economy if we stopped worrying about what we drink, about what we eat, about what we wear. I expect the nation would go bankrupt. But when Jesus says it is the Gentiles, that is the unbelievers, who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, what is Jesus really saying? Is Jesus advocating that when your guests arrive tomorrow for Thanksgiving dinner, you should remind them that since God feeds the birds of the air, God will provide for them as well? Or rather than the riding boots that my grandson is expecting this Christmas, should I give him a handwritten copy of Consider the Lilies of the Field? More seriously, should I have been appalled or approving when an unemployed friend who wasn't actively seeking work said to me, God will send me a job, and then quoted this passage? Today's gospel accuses us. It also puzzles us. What are we to do? In response to our confusion, Jesus urges, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Today's gospel then is about priorities, about what comes first in our lives. It's also about trust in God. This passage from St. Matthew invites us to reflect on what is the most important thing in life. What is life's center? If the way we live, the way we pass our time, the way we spend our money revolves around work, around material things, and even around family and friends, then our lives are going to be governed by anxiety. We will worry about not having enough money. We'll be troubled about family and friends and the state of the world. And when we are worried and anxious, we cannot appreciate what God has already given us. We can't hear what God is calling us to do. And we are unable to find joy in the present moment because we're always worrying about the future. So what's the alternative to a life of worry? Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus commands. And we reply, how do we do that? Because frankly, to me, that just sounds like one more thing to worry about. So I want to remind all of us today, including myself, that we do not have to seek the kingdom of God. And we do not have to strive for righteousness. The kingdom of God has already come to us in the form of God's own Son. And righteousness has been offered to us as a gift through Jesus' death and resurrection. You and I became part of the kingdom of God at our baptism. We were washed clean of our sin, and we left our old, dead life behind. We began a new life clothed in Christ's righteousness. That's the meaning of the white gowns that some congregations put on the newly baptized. The kingdom of God comes to us also in the Lord's Supper. There we hear once again the story of God's love for us and the sacrifice of his Son for our sins. At the table, we are given the bread of Jesus' body to eat and the wine of his blood to drink, and we are blessed. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace until life everlasting. So you and I, like those lilies, we've been clothed in righteousness through our baptism. And like the birds, we get fed in Holy Communion. And it's all by the grace of God. So then, Jesus points out, if God cares enough for us to clothe us in righteousness, to give us the body and blood of his own Son to eat and drink, if God loves us enough to offer us the most important things in life, forgiveness of sins, new life here, eternal life. Will God not also give us everything we really need? Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Striving for the kingdom doesn't mean that we never have to work, or that we should never be concerned about matters of daily life. Striving for the kingdom means trusting God's promise and accepting the gifts that God has offered. Then every single day, we can claim our new baptismal life and start over. And everything we do will reflect our confidence, our faith, our trust in God. This faithful life also includes sharing what we have been given so that others do not have to worry about what they will eat or drink or wear. And then they too can trust God. If we have faith that we've been given the most important things, we do not need to worry about the future. If God is at the center of our lives, everything else is going to find its proper place. God has freed us from worry, from sin, from everlasting death. And God has given us everything we truly need. So, in the face of such magnificent gifts, what else can we do except joyfully offer our thanks to God? And indeed, for those who believe, every day is Thanksgiving Day. Amen.